the hunters become the hunted. Open-mouthed, almost in a trance, Hiccup watched the furious, frantic progress of his friend down the mountainside.
"You horrible halitosis haddock!" shrieked Fishlegs in a frenzy. "You pathetic pieces of plankton! I can see you! You're blubbing like babies at the thought of fighting a real Viking!"
One Eye, the saber-toothed driver dragon, was watching Fishlegs with something approaching awe.
"You know, I underestimated your friend," he grunted, respectfully. "I thought he was a complete weed, but I have to admit that is brave. Suicidal, of course, but definitely brave."
The hysterics were so completely amazed to find themselves being attacked out of the blue by a single, undersized, underage member of another tribe that for a moment they just froze, jaws hanging open, hands filled with deer halfway to their mouths. Fishlegs skied straight at the hysterics, swinging his sword furiously when he got amongst them, but missing, of course, and skiing straight over their campfire and on down the hill. For a moment, his furs caught on fire, but the wind blew them out again. The hysterics paused for 1 second in their astonishment as they watched the small, shrieking figure careering down the mountainside. They then looked at one another, and you didn't need to see their faces to know that it was a grim, "let's murder him now" sort of look. They fastened on their skis in a businesslike, unhurried fashion, hoisted their bows onto their enormous hairy shoulders, and set off after him. "Oh, by the bouncing buttocks of beaming Balder," panicked Hiccup, setting off down the slope after Fishlegs. "They're going to kill him, aren't they? What am I going to do?"
"Do?" asked One Eye, bounding beside Hiccup in long, easy strides. "There's nothing you can do. Your friend is as good as dead. He's what we in the Sabretooth Pack would call a walking corpse. Or a skiing corpse, in this case. There's nothing you can do. And if you ski in this direction, you may end up dead too."
It looked like the dragon was right. Hiccup was working hard to keep up with the hysterics. Hysterics are enormous and very strong skiers indeed, and Fishlegs was travelling at a very fast speed himself on account of not doing anything fancy like turning, admittedly totally out of control, and it was amazing he hadn't fallen over already. Hiccup could see him twisting his head every now and again to shout more insults over his shoulder. The hysterics were gaining, and one big brute carrying a gigantic double-headed black and gold axe fastened an arrow to his bow. Hiccup screeched to a stop, sending out a fan of snow. He fixed an arrow to his own bow.
"Oh, my horns and whiskers," squealed Toothless. "He's going to do something. Don't do it, Hiccup. Don't do it."
Hiccup took careful aim and let go of the arrow, which sailed through the air and hit the big brute with the axe who was about to shoot Fishlegs right bang splat in the bottom. It was the first successful hit Hiccup had had all morning.
"Good shot!" roared One Eye,
enjoying himself hugely. The big brute with the axe let out a roar, and his arms flailed around wildly. He let fly his own arrow, which, in a streak of glorious luck, soared in a perfect arc straight into the bottom of the hysteric skiing in front of him.
"Oh, this is too good," breathed One Eye. "Pinch me, it must be my birthday."
That hysteric then screamed in pain and pitched forward into a complete somersault, taking out the hysteric in front of him, who slid on his back into the legs of the last three hysterics, upturning them like skittles. And all six hysterics ended up in a groaning, tangled, furious, snowy heap.
"Good, good," muttered Hiccup. "Now, please make all six of them follow me, not Fishlegs."
"I think they will," cried One Eye,
crying with laughter.
"Oh, I think they will."
"Over here!"
yelled Hiccup, making quite sure they saw who had caused their downfall. And then, for good measure,
"If you're not afraid of being shot, you wriggling ruffian rubbish!"
"Look what you done!" moaned Toothless. "Those hysterics are going to be so mad!"
Mad those hysterics certainly were, as mad as fire, and Hiccup set off down the mountain like a little bolt of lightning. "We've got a head start," panted Hiccup, skiing faster than he ever had done in his entire life.
"But it's not going to be enough," gloated One Eye with relish. "You've got half the mountain to ski down and they're going to catch up."
Sure enough, a horribly short time afterwards, Hiccup could hear the hysterics beginning their pursuit behind him. Five of the hysterics were howling the hysterical howl like a pack of insane high-pitched wolves, and the sixth, the one with the axe, was screaming more personal insults.
"How dare you assault my royal buttocks, you midget hooligan assassin! We hysterics are the best hunters in the entire world, and when I get hold of you, I shall chop you with my chopper and feed you the doom fang! I shall shoot you full of arrows and use you as a colander!"
yelled the hysteric with the axe.
"Charming," grinned One Eye. "Fond of visitors, aren't they, the hysterics?"
Hiccup headed straight for the woods, thinking they would find it harder to shoot him in there. Now, skiing through a thickly forested area is dangerous, hard work, and the first rule you should follow in normal circumstances is to go slowly. These were not normal circumstances, and Hiccup screamed through that forest, madly twisting and turning far too fast for safety.
Be careful, warned Toothless helpfully. Mind the trees.
Oh, thank you, Toothless, panted Hiccup sarcastically as he swerved violently this way and that. I never thought of that. Dragons have quicker reflexes than humans, so One Eye and Toothless followed with ease. But the hysterics weren't doing too badly either. Hiccup did hear one crash, as one of the hysterics didn't turn in time and smashed into a tree. But that left five hysterics still chasing after him, and from the sound of their spine-creeping hysterical howls, getting closer by the second.
"You cannot get away!" screamed the big brute with the axe. "When I get hold of you, I shall tear you limb from limb and use your wishbone as a toothpick!"
Meanwhile, down at the bottom of the gorge, Gobber had woken from his nap, and 10 of his young pupils had returned from their hunting trip. Gobber had harnessed 5 saber-tooth drivers to the sleigh and was waiting for the return of Hiccup and Fishlegs.
"I shot 90 snowpeckers,"
boasted Speedyfist to an impressed Wartyhog.
"That's nothing," crowed Snotlout. "I got 204. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. Even Hiccup the Useless and his ridiculous fish-legged friend must have got a few today. They can't be that pathetic."
"What has happened to those numbskulls?"
roared Gobber, beginning to feel a little uneasy. For Hiccup was the son of the chief Stoic the Vast, oh hear his name and tremble, ugh, and Stoic had a nasty temper and wouldn't be too pleased if anything had happened to his only son.
"Maybe they got ambushed by snowpeckers," sneered Snotlout.
There was a shouting from the gorge, and down it, like an erratic snow-ploughing rocket, came Fishlegs, arms whirring like windmills. Fishlegs was going so fast he couldn't possibly stop. He went on past the sleigh, past the open-mouthed Gobber and the boys, and on for 50 metres until he eventually came to a stop and collapsed on the ice. Gobber ran after him, with a very nasty feeling now in the bottom of his stomach, and picked Fishlegs up. Fishlegs looked terrible, purple and sweaty and trembling.
"Hiccup!" shouted Gobber. "Where is Hiccup?"
"Hysterics!" gasped Fishlegs. Hysterics!"
Gobber turned as white as a semi-spotted snowpecker. Up above, Hiccup shot out of the cover of the trees like an arrow from a bow. Directly below him was the gorge. He could see the little speck of Gobber's sleigh and the little dots moving around it. The other boys must have made it back then. Hiccup knew that if he skied down the gorge, he would never make it. The hysterics were so close behind him now, they would shoot him or catch him before he reached the bottom. He had to make a split-second decision. Instead of heading towards the gorge, he set his teeth grimly and pointed his skis to the right, down the slope that led directly to the cliff top.
"What are you doing?" shrieked Toothless. "This way is a 200-metre cliff. You going to die?"
Behind him, the hysterics burst out of the woods. When they saw where Hiccup was going, they didn't even bother to start shooting. They just swooped after him, shouting out jeeringly,
"Where do you think you're going, hooligan scum?
Say hello to Valhalla for me, because that's where you'll end up."
They could see the edge of the cliff now, where the snow ended and it was just an endless drop into nothingness.
"Stop!" shrieked Toothless. Stop!
"Why?" asked Hiccup. "I haven't got any choice. You think those hysterics are going to give me a big warm hug and let me go?"
No,
screamed Toothless.
"But you can't ski off a cliff. It's a long way down."
"That's why I need your help, One Eye," said Hiccup to the great saber-toothed dragon who was bounding alongside.
"And what makes you think," sneered One Eye, "that I want to help you? I hate humans. One less of you little pink slave drivers isn't going to trouble me."
"That's true," said Hiccup. "But if I die, the next chief of the Hairy Hooligan tribe will be—"
Hiccup had run out of slope. He launched himself off the cliff, throwing his weight forward, skis wide apart. One Eye followed, unfolding his great wings.
"Will be who?" said One Eye urgently. "Will be who?"
For one moment, Hiccup soared up into that glorious infinity of blue sky like a bird. And then he plunged down.
"Snotface, snot loud!"
yelled Hiccup as he fell. Hiccup screamed towards the ice at 150 miles per hour. Gobber the Belch, watching from below as the precious son of his boss was about to fall to his death, screamed as well. In 3 seconds, Hiccup would smash into the ground, and that would be the end of him. After 1 second, Hiccup was pretty sure One Eye would save him. After 2 seconds, he wasn't so sure. And in fact, the great saber-toothed driver dragon was only just in time. For vital milliseconds, his hatred of humans held him back. But then, he folded back his wings and dived after Hiccup. A saber-tooth can dive more swiftly and beautifully than a peregrine falcon. One Eye caught Hiccup around the waist with his great talons in the nick of time and then swept upwards, wings stretched out like a great white kite. Hiccup gave a whoop of joy. Down below, the watching boys cheered and started the hooligan hurrah. Gobbart practically fainted, such was his relief.
"Snotface, snotlout," said One Eye as he spread his wings wide. "Is he the tall, red-headed boy with a face like a pig?"
"That's the one," crowed Hiccup happily.
"Then you're right," replied One Eye, soaring even higher. "Perhaps you are one human worth saving."
Up on the cliff tops, the big brute of a hysteric with the axe was so angry he snapped his ski poles like twigs. His furious voice floated up to them.
"You're not safe yet! You're not safe ever!"
screamed the big brute, completely beside himself.
"Wherever you go, I shall find you. I shall follow you to the ends of the earth, to the bottom of the ocean, in the godlike heights of the sky. I promise you, you hooligan cockroach, that you will regret the day you shot an arrow in the bottom of Norbert the Nutjob."
And then the sound became too faint for them to hear any more. "Remind me," Hiccup said to Toothless as they flew along, "not to come back to Hysteria any time in the next 20 years.
"Ever,"
replied Toothless passionately.
"Not come back, ever."
Sabretooth drivers are so bulky and muscular they can only fly short distances, so One Eye dropped right down and placed Hiccup in the sleigh of a very relieved Gobber the Belch. Gobber took one look at the hysterics on the clifftops, shaking their fists and howling the hysterical howl, and judged it might not be a good idea to stick around. He loaded Fishlegs and the other boys back on the sleigh, and, cheering and singing, they followed the flying saber-tooth all the way back to the little Isle of Berk.
"I am the venomous Vorpant, deadlier than an asp soaked in arsenic. More toxic than a toadstool-flavoured tarantula. Are you coughy and coldy and snotty and sneezy? Are you mad? Are you sad? Do you feel queasy? Is your skin so hot it is starting to smoke? Is your throat so stiff it is making you choke? If you fall down dead, perhaps you too have been stung by the venomous Vorpant."